Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Final hour here, WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcand, Andy Hart. I see everybody on the Twitch chat all excited because the bitching hour is I got to say, despite our very lively debate about Jeremy Swayman yesterday, it's been a very pleasant show, I think. Right, Stiz? No beef today.
I'm not going to lie, guys. I was up late last night worrying how today could go. Both very professional, though, I must say. So
I will
thank
say,
you.
I mean, other than the fact that we can't be in the same room.
Well, that's that right. Helps. That's true.
That
that's
I think true. not having to look at Andy has been very
Andy
calming.
Andy purposely didn't come in today.
Yeah. Yep.
That's, I'm sure the same can be said over there. I think that's all very true. And also,
he bullied me too much, so I'm like, I have a little PTSD from being called an idiot and a moron and shut up, and it's hurtful. A lot
Andy,
of hurtful words.
Andy live from his safe space today.
Yes, exactly.
Broadcasting from. So yes, that. And by the way, last night I went to this little watering hole near my house called the Village Manor, and 3-4 different people came up to me and were like, "Hey, great fight today!" Like that was really great. I was driving home, you guys were fighting. I was really into it. I was like, "Oh, cool, thank you." Tell all your friends and get a meter, please. That'd be great, too.
Some guy tweeted me. He's like, I stopped listening during that. Okay, good. Thanks for telling me. I really, really appreciate you telling me that you stopped listening. I don't need to. If you stop listening, you stop listening. You don't like it, you don't like it.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do?
We got a few people were calling in. They were upset with how frequent Arcand took the Lord's name.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I shouldn't say a few. One. But he was very adamant.
Okay.
Very passionate.
Sorry, Father. I'll try and
disappointed.
Do better next time.
I wanted an actual swear. I wanted you to have.
I'll tell you what, it was almost there. Like it was on the. I was like crowning in terms of that, but I was able to. I was able to hold it down and keep it together. Which you know, listen, dealing with Andy Hart, that's a pretty big thing to be able to say.
It's only been a month. You've been dealing with me.
I know.
How do you think Paul Perillo did it for 20 years or 18 years?
Longest
or whatever the
month
hell.
Of my life. No.
That's did you see
Perillo? I saw him tweeting about it. He's like, "Oh, that sounds like it would have brought up some terrible memories for me." I was like,
"Words have meaning."
That's a good tweet. Yeah.
I tend to harp on words. Certain words, they have meanings, and then I harp on them, and then I can't stop harping.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Andy Harp.
Yep, Andy Harp. That's a pretty lame one, but it's also very accurate.
Speaking of harping, I need to harp on. So this is the second time we've listened to Greg Bedard.
Yes.
And I think it bothered me more the second time than it did the first. And it bothered me the first time. The whole totality of the comment, how convenient and timely it is to protect the plan. Oh, Drake May's not ready, so we couldn't possibly throw him out there to the wolves. And I'm going to be, what did he say, like intentionally vague here with what he can't do and what he might be struggling with. And then, but if Brissett gets hurt, they'll be fine. Well, either he's not ready to play.
Right.
If he's not ready to play, isn't it going to be kind of a crap show out there when he has to play? If Brissett gets hurt on the first play against Miami, if the backup quarterback is not ready to play, then it should be an absolute disaster, correct?
I would think so, yeah. If this is the way you're framing it, then yes, and that's the way they framed it.
And if Brissett gets hurt and May goes out there and isn't a disaster, doesn't that sort of indicate he was ready to play?
Right, and that is, okay, so, he's got the offense just fine.
Exactly. So the front end and the back end of his comment don't marry up. He was trying to appease too many fathers there. Like that, the whole thing annoys me because I don't buy it. I do think the organic truth is that Drake May is doing good things on the practice field. I really do. I believe the players and the coaches that are impressed by what Drake May is doing on the practice field. And I'm not saying that's the be-all, end-all. I know it's 30% of reps, and it's practice, and it's scout team, and all those things. But don't tell me he's not ready, and then tell me if he plays, it'll be fine. You sound like you're spinning a story. You know, when you work to, what is it? When you work to deceive, what a web we weave, or I don't think I nailed
what
that.
What a web we weave when we practice to deceive, I think
yeah,
is what
that's what
yeah.
That's what Bedard was doing. There was a lot of weaving going on in that little comment there.
Are you saying he's deceiving us?
Yeah.
You're saying he's lying?
Well, no, I think he's telling me what somebody told him, and he's just telling me that. I'm not sure if he believes it or not.
Okay, right? But if someone told him that, then...
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we had a call.
He's not lying, I don't think. Like, that's not deception if he's reporting what someone said.
No, he's part of the deception. He's
I
not
see,
the deceiver.
I see. He's part of
part of a web of deception.
I get it.
And we had a caller earlier that I think made a very logical guess at where he might be getting his information from. I'm not one who's into outing other people's sources or anything like that, but it certainly would behoove and benefit the vice president or player personnel, right? Executive vice president Elliot Wolf. It would behoove him in his plan to say, everybody out there, relax. Drake May's not even ready to play. So don't yell at us why we're not playing him. He's not ready to play. But if he has to play, everything will be fine.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, that could certainly be part of it. And I think that Van Pelt is another one in that camp, right? He's all about the guys waiting and not going forward. And I think that less than Elliot Wolf, to be sure, but more so than someone like Jerod Mayo or, whoever else. Like, I think that Van Pelt may have a incentive for this as well. As soon as he goes in there, I don't have this excuse anymore, and I'm not sure about this team around it. We're worried he'll get hit, and we're worried about the team around him. I'm worried about the team around him because I'm supposed to be coaching them up, and they can't block, they can't catch, they can't throw, they can't run, they can't hold the ball, they can't do anything.
So we mentioned it earlier in the week. Could Jerod Mayo be coming to the side of the plan because of the David Andrews injury and just be like, oh, my God? Couldn't the opposite be true? Couldn't Alex Van Pelt, with people like you saying, hey, Andy, you think Ben McAdoo is a possibility to run this offense or maybe have a bigger... Shouldn't Alex Van Pelt maybe start to trend in the other way and be like, we stink, and the only spark I see in this whole place is that guy number 10, the quarterback. He might be able to run some of those zone reads and get some actual positive yards, and he might be able to scramble and sling it down the field. I think if the plan is changing, now wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, honestly, that makes perfect sense to me, what you just said, Andy. That makes perfect sense that they would want to change the subject away from the mutiny, away from all this stuff, and say, here's Drake May. All right, everybody, you were waiting for Drake May. Fans, you don't want to come to these games anymore. Well, now we got Drake May playing. So let's talk about that. Let's make that the new narrative. Start talking about him and his development and how far along he is and how good he's going to be and what quarterbacks you can compare him to through history and all this other stuff. All the things that happen when you have a new quarterback, right? The only problem, though, is that if Drake May comes out and he plays and he sucks,
that's a problem.
Is there anything? You're under the barrel now. Like, it's not the bottom of the barrel. You're under the barrel. That's it. There's nowhere. You can't go any further down from that, I don't think.
And the reality is, it would appease a lot of people. I think it would appease ownership. It would appease fans. It would appease media. Everybody, for a short period of time. Because these things can wear off quickly. It's like John in the car when he said earlier that we loved when we were all having the little rib party with the coaches, and then now we've lost interest. Yeah, well, guess what? You're right. We would all be excited to see Drake May, and it would change the emotion. Might even be players. Let's go down the road of Evan Lazar was right, and there's some players that are factoring Drake May into their own feelings right now. They might be excited to see Drake May out there. There might be an energy. There was buzz in the preseason when he was out there. And then if he goes, I don't know, three and out, interception, three and out, fumble, then all of a sudden the wheels fall off and everybody realizes now we got nothing. Now we got nothing to bitch about. We got nothing to look forward to or want to turn
to. That's what it is. There's no hope. Drake May goes out there and he says there's no hope anymore.
It's over.
He at least represents some sort of hope for you.
Absolutely. That's like you realize you ran out of food on that desert island. Right now you have a little, you rationed and you have like a Twinkie and you're saving this damn Twinkie forever or whatever you want, a buffalo wing, whatever you like, whatever really gets you hot and bothered. And you realize once I eat that though, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
It's over. We're done.
Or like you're on the island, you see a boat coming towards you. And you're like, oh, the boat's going to come save me. And then the boat just goes right by and doesn't stop.
Or it sinks or blows up or something.
Something son of a. Gets attacked by like an orca whale and sinks, something like that. Yeah, that's basically what this is. The Patriots are a guy on a desert island. Drake May is a boat. And you're just hoping that he doesn't get sunk by the orcas. That's basically where we're at right now. And that is that's a tough place to be in. But somehow, that is still considered a better place to be than wherever it is that the Miami Dolphins are. Because the Patriots, probably just because they're the home team, are still favored in this game. Over at FanDuel, it's still a 1.5-point edge for your New England Patriots. And you look at the two rosters, and I don't even think it's really close, despite there not being a quarterback there in Miami. There's not much of a quarterback here either. And the rest of that roster is considerably better, on offense anyway, considerably better than what you have. And you could even make the argument that on defense they have more name talent, I'd say, even than you did. Calais Campbell is a big name. Jalen Ramsey's a big name. Like, you don't have those two guys. Like, that's... And that doesn't make an entire unit. It doesn't make an entire team, obviously. But when we're talking
about... Doesn't make a what?
An entire unit.
Make a what?
A unit.
We play best as a what? A
when unit. I say...
When I say when, you say knit.
When I say what, you say knit.
Yeah, that's what that's not all that matters, obviously. But they have more name brand talent than you do. I hate to say it, like that's just a fact.
Which is why they're a bigger disappointment, and which is why long term you can argue, forget about whatever happens on Sunday. You might be in a better spot than because you didn't even mention the fact that they have a $200 million quarterback who may or may not ever play again, may ever be allowed to play again. They don't have a hope. They may not have hope at quarterback, right? You just said it. We have hope. The hope could be destroyed at some point, but we still have the hope that's on the horizon. The Dolphins, pending Tua's situation or pending Tua being cleared or pending Tua wanting to play or however this all manifest itself, they would have no hope. They go back right back into they're thinking about, do I draft Shedeur Sanders? Do I draft Carson Beck? Do I draft Quinn Ewers? Do I wait a year and take Arch Manning? Like that's, and they should be Super Bowl contenders, right? They're a team built that they should be climbing the ladder, and they're one step ahead of you in the power rankings. And as our friend Ross Tucker said, if you lose on Sunday, Miami, you're probably dead last in the NFL.
Yeah, you probably are. And if the Patriots lose on Sunday, with all this mutiny talk, Patriots lose on Sunday, don't expect that to go away anytime soon. And don't expect, listen, whether Evan Lazar was accurate or not about what he was observing in that locker room, he went back in the other station and he said that he was exaggerating, got a little carried away. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't.
He also blamed Alex Barth a little bit. Did you notice that? Where he's like, you know Alex, and you know, when you do shows with him, it's like you blaming me for that argument yesterday.
That bomb dropper Alex Barth, yeah. It's just, I know, but it was, I did notice that. I didn't take it that way, but now that you mention it, yeah, he did sort of.
Well, you're blaming him.
He threw Barth under the bus a little bit there.
Absolutely.
But it seemed very natural. It didn't seem like he was putting on a show. It didn't seem like, and I know he was doing a radio show, but you know what I mean? It didn't seem like he was over exaggerating. It seemed like he was describing what he saw and that he was concerned about it and that he was speaking earnestly about it. And I think that whether he was or he wasn't, next week, this Sunday, they lose again. People are going to go in that locker room and see whatever they want to see.
The battle for the basement.
That's what's going to happen. Like you don't like the narrative where it is now. You lose again to the Dolphins with no quarterback. This team scored the fewest points of any team since the 90s or whatever that stat was. You're going to go into that locker room, and unless everybody's just sitting there looking straight ahead, anything, any type of argument, any type of anything is going to be magnified times 1,000.
Or just that they're broken. It could be that.
That
you know,
too,
heads are all hung, that it's over. And I that's where I do believe Evan was legitimately concerned about what the future of the culture of the locker room, whatever was going on. Did he choose the right word to describe it? I don't know. Probably not. Mutiny was probably wrong. But I think he was.
I'm glad he did say mutiny, though, because it programmed the whole show today.
So oh, 100%.
I'm very relieved that he did that.
And Patriot Nation for like 24 hours. Yeah. You got a full 24 hours of talk out of this, because once they scrubbed it, it blew up. And, you know, we kind of skated past it yesterday just because it was like, he used a bad word. He probably regrets that, but it's not that big a deal. And then once the organization decided to scrub it and go that route, it kind of injected life into the story and blew it up. But I think the emotion that Evan was observing and the circumstances that he was observing, I think he's honest about. I believe him. I think he firmly believes that this team is teetering on something bad. And I mean, when you're teetering, it doesn't take much to push you over.
Yeah, and it's not much worse than losing to the Dolphins, who are playing as bad as they are these days. So that could be the very thing that pushes them over. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We got calls lined up. We'll get to you guys right after Stiz tells you what's trending. We'll recap Thursday Night Football, and we got our picks for Week 5.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's all coming up next.
Improbable indeed. That was a game I thought the Buccaneers had in hand, even towards the end there, and the Falcons would not go away. Kirk Cousins would not be denied. He threw the ball 60 times almost for over 500 yards in this game that did go to overtime with that walk-off touchdown you just heard right there. Kadarrell Hodge taking it the distance. It was a 45-yard. It was a great play. Darnell Mooney had two touchdowns. That little guy, Drake London, had a touchdown and 154 yards receiving.
I talked about Atlanta as maybe a potential landing spot for Devontae Adams. If their guys are out there doing this, I mean, that was a lot of yards there. Mooney and London both cracked 100. London cracked 150. Pitts had 88 yards. He looked like a real tight end for the first time all year. He's been a huge disappointment. And, yeah, they were able to withstand the Tampa Bay Bucs. They got a little help, I'd say, from the refs, who ignored that very obvious face mask on Bucky Irving, which should have been called and would have been the end of the game right there. But you know what? Bucks had a chance to stop him after, and they couldn't. So I'm not going to cry over that. But I do think, in general, that was a fun game last night.
It was a fun game. It was also fun if you took Kirk Cousins over 226 passing yards, as I advised, because he doubled it.
Yes, he did.
Or more than doubled it. Way more than doubled it. Had one of the... I think I read it was like the 18th most passing yards in NFL history or something.
In a single game, yeah. I think so.
I mean, it was a historic game. And the funny part is, and you're right, I think he's playing better. I still think he's a little weird with the back foot and the Achilles, and I'm not sure he totally trusts that, or there's something there. But the way Bijan Robinson hasn't even done anything. He hasn't even really contributed. So they have another weapon who I think is their best all-around player.
Not this year, he is.
No, I know, and that's the weird part, but I think he's capable of carrying an offense at various points. That's an interesting team, especially in that division. If you can pile up some wins and kind of take care of your business, set yourself up for December, January, being a dome team, if you can keep, get some home playoff games, like, you can do some damage with that team.
Yeah, you certainly could if they were if they're able to kind of focus it all and get there. I think that's a team with a lot of talent on it, for sure. And a team that's now 3-2. Bucks are 3-2 as well. It's a pretty good little division right there in the NFC South, which I was also not expecting to happen this year. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to Ryan, who is in Vermont, who has a thought on the coaches before we get to our picks. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We got to talk about the Patriots again. It's much more fun to talk about the Chiefs today.
Yeah.
But a few weeks ago, somebody brought up how if you put Drake May in there, and he looks good, but the offense still isn't producing, that can fall back under the coaching staff. So do you think it's a fair evaluation to say that the coaching staff is valuing job security more than winning and developing Drake May?
That's a good question. Are they valuing that more? I think that there's more value to Drake May playing and being good. If they think he's not ready, then yeah, they'd be valuing that more because they don't want him to go out there, be exposed, and thus expose all them as, bad coaches, as fair or unfair as that is. That's the way it would go. That's an interesting way of looking at it. I think that they're all invested in pulling the same way. I also think they all kind of got, I don't want to say marching orders, but they're all going into this season with their eyes open, you know what I mean, Andy? Like, they know this wasn't going to be a good season. They weren't expecting to win a lot of games this year. Ownership isn't expecting them to do that. I don't think that they want to be embarrassed week in and week out like they've been the last couple of weeks, but I think that there's an understanding that, and Kraft has said as much, we're not really going for a ton of wins this year. We're trying to build something.
Yeah, he has said that a couple times. Remember, he said it in the Mike Reese story. That was the Jets week. So it was really only less than 2 weeks ago. There's some rough spots ahead or something like that. We understand that, but we think we have the right people in place. And I would say if he firmly believes that, and they believe he believes that, that is very valuable. If they firmly believe when he says, I hired you, Gerard Mayo. He hired you, Alex Van Pelt. Elliot hired you. You guys are my guys. I trust you to make the right plays.
Mm-hmm.
I think that goes somewhere because the caller's right. We're all human beings.
Right.
And there's some survival mode. There's some look out for myself. Right? It's just Darwinism. That's how the base, most basic instinct. And
good movie.
Okay. That's not what I'm saying. Jesus, you creep.
What?
I don't know why I call you a creep.
It was a good movie. You didn't like that movie?
Well, yeah. And there's the one scene that's kind of famous.
Yeah. Where she's in the room and she's crossing her leg. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that scene. Everybody knows about it.
There's some other good scenes in that movie. That movie came out when I was like, when I was like a tween. So, back in the day, you didn't really have a lot of options. Basic Instinct came on one of the movie channels.
Cinemax?
That was a whole night right there, Okay. I didn't need, unplug everything. That was it. Just me and Sharon Stone.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the way it was.
Yeah, let's get back to Drake May and Alex Van Pelt.
Oh, fine. I'd rather talk about Sharon Stone and her.
It's like dinner time. People are driving home with their kids, and you're like creeping it up on the radio.
Are they?
People are stopping in the drive-thru, like getting. It's Friday night, so we're picking up pizza, or maybe we're going out to get.
And they're
something.
Going, yeah, that Sharon Stone is pretty hot in that movie. That's what they're thinking.
Yeah, the 6-year-old's like, "What's he talking about, Dad? What does he mean his whole night was set?"
Well, son,
you'll know, son, someday.
Yeah, very good. All right.
It's natural and it's okay.
Let's get to it right now. Let's get some picks for the weekend here on WEEI Afternoons.
Oh, I'm sorry, Arkin. Is there like a bed for this or?
Yeah, a little music.
Totally my fault.
That's okay. Yeah. Let's get a little football
music.
Hey,
we're still working out the kinks. We're like the Patriots.
That's all right. Yeah, no big deal. It's just,
we might have a mutiny on our hands. I don't know.
Take two. 1, 2, 3. All right. Unique New York. I'll do a little vocal warm-up, and we'll try it again. We'll just, you know, it's okay. The live radio is not that big a deal. You just you treat it like we're just doing a taping.
Ooh,
and now, without any further ado, let's make some picks here for Week 5. Jacob, what games are we picking?
So, first game that I have that, you know, the Bears are favored by 4 over the Panthers at 1 o'clock on Sunday. I thought that DeAndre Swift looked great last week, and the Carolina run defense is terrible, so that's what I'm going for. That's my big game first.
So I will go with the Bears to cover. I think the Panthers stink. I think the Bears will be fine in this game, Swift. I agree with you. Give me the Bears, lay the points.
I'm on the Bears, too. I think there's a little bit of money going towards Carolina in terms of, like, the sharps or whatever, but I don't trust it. At 4, I don't know if I'd even trust it at 6.5. I think that Chicago, as many warts as they have here defensively, are going to have a really hard time keeping up with the playmakers on that Bears team. And I do believe that Allen and all those guys are playing, right? So they're going to be at full strength for the first time in a while. So, yeah, give me the Bears.
All right, next up, we have the Minnesota Vikings versus the New York Jets in Europe.
The Sam Darnold Bowl.
Yeah, the Vikings are favored by 2.5.
I'll start on this one. I like the Jets. I like the Jets plus 2.5 here. I think Rodgers in another country is just going to be a little bit more dialed in and ready to go for some reason. I don't know why. I just feel like, you know, the older guys had more experience with this. Darnold is off to a great start. The Vikings are off to a great start. But I like the Jets here with the 2.5.
Yeah, this feels like a kind of a sucker bet where no one's buying in on the Jets. Everyone's now accepting that the Vikings are good and buying in on Sam Darnold and the Vikings. So I should take the Vikings. That's why I will take the Jets.
Ah, there you go.
Not getting me on a sucker.
Big brain, that one. All right,
yep.
We both like the Jets. We both like the Bears, and we both like the Jets. We've got to find something we both don't like here, Jacob.
I actually disagree with you guys. I would take the Vikings in that game. Baltimore Ravens versus Bengals at 1 o'clock. The Ravens are favored by 2.5.
You want to take this one first, Andy?
I am going to go with my guy Joe Burrow to dig out of a hole. I think the obvious bet here is the Ravens, because I think people are ready to maybe anoint them one of the best teams in football, especially if they pull off the Edgar Allan Poe trade and get Devontae Adams.
I don't think he's going to make it by Sunday, but yeah, that happens.
I don't think he will.
I'm not going to be picking against them much for the rest of the year.
Coming off a huge game by Derrick Henry, the Bengals' D-line has been banged up. They've been putting like practice squatters out there. They've kind of been like the Patriots' offensive line. So everything tells me to take the Ravens. Therefore, give me the Bengals.
Yeah, I like the Bengals, too. It's a division game. It's a home dog, which I always tend to lean towards that anyway. And I feel like the Ravens, as good as they've looked at times, also I can't get that Raiders game out of my head. And I think that the Bengals have a chance here. At the very least, I think they win the game, but at the very least, to cover the 2.5. All right, next.
Next up, we have the largest spread of the week, 49ers versus Cardinals at 4:05.
And that is a 7-point spread? Is
a
that right?
7-point spread, yes. And the game is in San Francisco, I believe.
Give me the birds. I want the birds, and I want them right now at plus 7. I think the Niners are a much better team. I'm picking against them again, which maybe is a dumb idea here. But this is also a division game, and for some reason, the Cardinals give them trouble when they play them. So I don't necessarily think they win this game, but can they keep it within 7? I say yes. Give me Arizona.
Give me the Purdy Birdie, the real Purdy Birdie, Purdy, to win this game. I think the 49ers are by far the better team. And you know me, I don't think very much of Kyler Murray. I don't think he's the best quarterback in this game. And I know you don't think very much of Purdy.
I'll say I've come around a little bit on Brock Purdy after he annihilated the Patriots last weekend and did it with really. What was funny about the Brock Purdy performance is like every single thing that I ripped him for, he completely shoved down my throat. Like, that was, well, he's not really that good at moving around. He's not good at escaping the pocket. The team's really a result of all the guys around him. Nope. It was him. It was him making those plays. It was him extending the plays. It was him really doing all of it with a bunch of guys who were banged up. Perfect throws all over the field. Brock Purdy, I owe an apology. I was not familiar with your game, at least as much as I should have been. But despite all that, I'm still going with Calamari, as our good friend Andy Gresh used to call him.
Good luck.
And the Arizona Cardinals to cover the 7 at the very least. All right, next.
So we have Raiders at Bronco in the Battle of the Tanks. The Broncos are favored by 3.
Broncos favored by 3. You take this one, Andy.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Broncos. I guess I'll lay the points. I don't love this game. Scoring points, not great for the Broncos. The Raiders, I think, are not a very good football team. Talk about a mutiny. Yeah. I think that's a team that could mutiny at
some point. Mutinies in 2 years. That's pretty bad. They are the Raiders. I mean, they are Pirates, so that does make sense.
The Pirates. Yeah, so just give me the Broncos. And I believe the Broncos are wearing their orange crush jerseys.
Nice. This, nice.
So that right there in and of itself is reason to pick them.
Yeah, I've been a Bo Nix believer for a while, and he hasn't been great this year or anything, but it does seem like he's improving week to week, and I agree. I think the Raiders are a mess, and they're on the road. I like the Broncos here, too.
All right, we have Green Bay Packers at L.A. Rams, and the Packers are favored by 3. Jordan Love is back.
Jordan Love is back, but his two top receivers, I think, are banged up. I don't know if Dobbs and Watson are out or if they've been limited or what exactly their designation was in the Friday injury report here, but I read that it is troublesome for that offense. So I like the Rams here. I think that the Rams cover the 3. They're at home. Another home dog. I almost always lean that way when the home team's given points like that. So, yeah, give me the Rams plus 3.
Give me the Packers. Give me Jordan Love. I think they're the much better football team, and he's got some time to make up for while he's been on the bench. So I think he has a big day throwing the football.
He was bad last week, wasn't he? Didn't Love have a bad game, or am I misremembering?
Yeah, did he play last week?
I thought he did. Didn't Love play last week?
He did.
And was he bad? These are all things I probably could have looked up. Jordan Love was 32 of 54, 389 yards, 4 touchdowns, 3 picks. So it was a mixed bag. I'd say that wasn't terrible, but the 3 interceptions is a lot, and they lost the game to the Vikings. So there you go. All right, what's next? Oh, wait, did I make a pick there?
I think you did.
Yes, I did.
Jesus.
I picked it.
Have you
the
lost
Rams.
Your mind?
No,
what is going on?
I'm looking at a bunch of different things here. I picked the Rams plus 3. All right, what's else
do
we have?
Well, in that game, look out for Dontavion Wicks for his over-receiving yards, because I think because some of their wide receivers are out, he will be a top target for Jordan Love in that game. Last but not least, Sunday Night Football, Dallas Cowboys at Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers are favored by 2.5.
I got to tell you, if we weren't doing this right now, I probably wouldn't touch this game, honestly. Like, I don't know what to make of the Steelers. I never know what to do when there's a game to bet on that they're a part of. Generally, I feel like the under's a good thing to take here. But Dallas plus 2.5 on the road. The Steelers' defense, as good as it is, I think the Dallas defense could give Fields some trouble. So I'm going to go Dallas here plus 2.5.
Yeah, I'm going to go Dallas. I don't feel great about it because I do think that Steelers' defense is pretty good. And this Cowboys offense, I'm not sure exactly what it is. The running back position, CeeDee Lamb and Dak and their relationship, the play caller. But they got talent. They have talent. And I'm not sure about the quarterback situation for Pittsburgh. So, give me Dallas.
All right. There you go. Those are our picks for the weekend. We did not. I have to go back and listen, I guess. But I don't know how we did on our picks last Friday.
Somebody's supposed to be keeping track of these. Can we get like an intern or a board?
Yeah, we'll start keeping track.
All right, we'll go back.
We said that last week.
We did say that last week. That's true. And then it's a little different because we got a lot of different people all working on the show over the course of the week. However, we can go back and listen. We'll see how we did last week, because last week was the first time we really went against each other. The problem is we agree on too many picks. There's only like 2 we disagreed on. So we can just narrow it right down to the 2 we disagreed on and just go with those, because the rest of them don't really matter. At any rate, we're still workshopping this bit. We'll get to it. We'll get it right at some point. It's just picking NFL games like, you know, no other show does that. So
nope, it's very groundbreaking.
I'd say so. I'd say we're probably the first show in radio history to do it. Anyway, 617-779-7937 is your phone number. There's your pick for the weekend. Coming up, we'll close out the show with This Week in Social Media, #TWISM.
This Week in Social Media with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
That's right. This Week in Social Media, hashtag TWISM. No, not the Shaq thing, if you're old enough to remember that, which I'm sure Jacob has no idea what I'm talking about. Jacob, back in the day, Shaquille O'Neal had a clothing company called TWISM, and it stood for The World Is Mine. You remember that? And it was this big thing, and it just happens to have the same initials as This Week in Social Media. Total coincidence. And I don't even think TWISM, Shaq's TWISM, is a thing anymore, so I'm not worried about any copyright infringement there. Anyway, TWISM is brought to you by Cars for Kids. The easy way to donate your car, donate today. Your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. We begin TWISM this week, Andy, with some NFL tweets. A couple of good ones here from Darius Slay. Did you see what Darius Slay was doing on Monday?
I did not.
So Darius Slay and the Eagles got their asses handed to them by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this past weekend. It was an absolute blowout, 33-16, I think the score was. There was a point in the game, and I remember this because it was right before they kicked a field goal. The Bucs were up 21-0 in the first half. They had the ball on the goal line, and they're trying to add more points, and Mayfield drops back. And I forget who the pass was to, but Slay comes in and knocks it down, so they settle for the field goal to make it 24-0. And Slay knocks the ball down, and he's like, incomplete! Like, really celebrating that he knocked the ball away, despite the fact that they were still down, and now four scores after the field goal. So Slay already was ticking people off. Then after the game, he tweets out this. And this is pretty funny, because Darius Slay, after getting destroyed by the Buccaneers, tweeted out 150 pass breakups and counting, 28 picks and counting, 6-time Pro Bowl, all pro. When you talk bad about me, don't forget to mention the greatness of me too, shrugging man emoji. Andy Hart, your thoughts?
Be a little more aware of the time, the events. Who's he talking to? Who's criticizing him?
I think people on Twitter, I would imagine.
Yeah, you're a loser. Yeah, you know how I know? Because you lost. That makes you a loser. That's how that works. And that's prevalent. The whole celebrating. Sometimes now people celebrate even when like a guy drops a ball in front of them.
Right.
When DBs do that thing. It drives me nuts.
It's one thing to be like, yes, he didn't catch it. It's another thing to be like, incomplete. Yeah,
right.
Like, can't like, throw on me. Like, no, they can throw on you. You didn't do anything about that.
You didn't really do anything there. We talk about this all the time with the wide receivers, but cornerbacks are... they're a different crew, too. Mm. They are definitely a little bit off, and it would seem like Slay is in that world, because that right there indicates, well, if I knock a pass down, I feel good about the game, even if we lose by 24
or
we get embarrassed.
It was so bad that Slay actually apologized on Twitter, which you don't see people do very often, and he locked his account. So bad day overall, I would say, for him. Are you familiar with Deshaun Watson and his burner account or his suspected burner account? Do you know about this, Andy?
Yes. Suspected.
So,
yep.
Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson has an alleged Twitter alter ego, and this name always makes me laugh whenever I see it. Leroy Bickerstaff is the name of Deshaun Watson's most ardent defender on Twitter. Let me put it that way. If it's him or if it's not him, I don't know. But this guy, Leroy Bickerstaff, defends Deshaun Watson to his dying breath. It is, it's really something. And this past week, Dan Orlovsky tweeted out that if the Browns had kept Baker Mayfield, they would be the Vikings. Bickerstaff had a big problem with that and said, one of the laziest takes you'll see all day. No one can honestly think this after watching the way Four played yesterday, this past Sunday. He couldn't have put his team in a better spot to win. Now, do you think this guy's actually Deshaun Watson or just someone who really likes him?
I think it's someone that really likes him. Like, I always want to believe these burner accounts, but I feel like is it like at best 50-50? I mean, there's definitely been burner accounts. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. There's been burner accounts in professional sports.
Durant famously had one, right?
Durant. Yeah. Who was one of the executives that had one?
Oh, right. For the Sixers.
Yeah.
What was his name? Yeah. And the wife had one too, I think.
Yes.
That was the whole thing. What was that guy's name?
So sometimes it's true, and sometimes the internet sleuths are right.
Brian Colangelo. That's what it was.
Yes.
Yeah. Brian Colangelo.
Yes.
I forgot about that.
But this one, I don't know if I'd buy it, but why would you want to support? I mean, Watson has been on the field and off the field one of the worst people to support for about 3 years now, two and a half, 3 years, right?
Like, he's been brutal.
But I think there are people in this world that are just like, I'm going to be the contrarian, and I'll get some notoriety on Twitter if I defend Deshaun Watson all the time. It's stupid.
Yeah, I'd agree. It is pretty stupid. Anyway, that's going on. I mean, listen, if Leroy Bickerstaff's a real person, then, find another guy to defend all the time.
Yeah, like, there's a million quarterbacks out there. Like, you're going to put your flag in Deshaun Watson's camp. Like, yeah, this is my guy, and I'm going to the wall for him. That's weird. It's one thing for Jerry Thornton to go to the wall for Tom Brady.
Right.
Like, there's plenty of reasons. Seems like a pretty good guy off the field. Seems like a pretty dominant guy on the field. But to go to the mat, go to the wall for Deshaun Watson right now, that's a curious choice in life, my friend.
That is a weird one. And finally, the last installation here of this week in social media. It wasn't a big week in social media and sports.
I feel like social media is dying.
It is. It wasn't great this week. And you know what? I'm still just getting acclimated to TikTok. I don't really go on it very much, but I'm starting to see more things there and things getting posted. It doesn't really help me too much for this segment because not a lot of athletes doing it, but I feel like there's a sort of untapped realm over there that maybe I can expand this bit into. At any rate, the last one here is from the Chicago White Sox official team account. The White Sox, as you know, just ended the worst season they've ever had, maybe the worst season that any baseball team has ever had. Worst record in MLB history, that's for sure. They lost their 121st game last Friday, but on social media on Saturday morning, they put out a pretty funny tweet, and that was their mascot, Southpaw, who I don't know what Southpaw is supposed to be. He looks like a big, green, hairy monster. Like, I don't know. He's not a sock. I know that. He's kind of like Wally, but if Wally and what's the thing in the Philadelphia Flyers guy?
The crazy, scary thing.
Yeah, what's his name? Gritty. It's like if Wally and Gritty
got together,
made love and produced the mascot baby, it would look like Southpaw. And that's sort of, if you just need a visual, that's what it would look like. Anyway. In this tweet, it's Southpaw. He's wearing a black suit. He's got on black sunglasses, and he's holding up one of those things from Men in Black, you know, to erase the memory.
Oh, yes.
And it says, look right here, we're just going to wipe away your memory, and he's got the thing flashing. And I thought that was pretty funny. Like, a lot of times these pro teams with their Twitter accounts, they put out a lot of lame crap trying to be funny. I thought that was legitimately funny. Like, that was a funny, self-deprecating tweet at the end of the season.
That was very good. I feel like there's been a little uptick in the humor and quality of the team-based tweets. Like, they're taking themselves a little less seriously and being a little more creative and opening the door to more. Wasn't there something? Didn't the Royals put something for the Orioles?
Yes.
Bobby Witt Jr.?
So the Orioles had like a bird sitting on a throne, and then they had like one of the Royals players with a bunch of feathers, and he's sitting on top of where the bird was. That was a good one too.
That was well done.
That was very good. All right, there you go. That's this week in social media. The only thing left to do here, Andy Hart, is pick the game on Sunday. What do you think? Patriots, Dolphins, who wins and by how much?
So I snarkily went with 3-2 Patriots on the Six Rings podcast, but in a more serious sense, I think the Patriots need to be worried. I think this is a get-right game for the Miami Dolphins offense. I am going to go, not real right, just a little bit right. I am going to go 17-9. Miami finds the end zone twice. One of those is a Tyreek Hill anytime touchdown, and the Patriots fail to reach the end zone.
Mine's very close to that. I don't like how much we're agreeing today. I feel like this is after yesterday.
Go back to yesterday.
Big explosive show now. We're all buddies now. I'm going to go with the Patriots losing, and I say they lose 20-10. That was my number. I think that they can get up to maybe one touchdown, maybe one field goal, and I think the Dolphins will just do a little bit better. And that's all the time we have here. Coming up next, I believe it's KJ and Lions having you for the full 4 hours from 6 until 10 o'clock. I'll be back on Sunday at 10 a.m. for Football Sunday. You'll hear Andy Hart there as well, along with Fitzy, Mego, Scheim, Tommy Curran, and everybody else. Going to be a lot of fun there as we get ready for a game that's not going to be a lot of fun between the Patriots and the Dolphins. We're out of here. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Enjoy your weekend. Goodbye.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.